Turning, please, in our Bibles to the Old Testament, to Psalm 119, and we're going to break into the Psalm at verse 17. We're just going to read 8 verses of the Psalm this morning, from verse 17 down to verse 24, Psalm 119, verse 17. The psalmist writes, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Amen. And we'll finish there at verse 24 of the Psalm, and we know God will bless his word to our hearts. Now, over the past 3 weeks now since the new year, as you know by now, we've been considering this theme, this subject of living with intention. And we've looked at living with intent in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. We've looked at loving with intent, focusing upon Matthew 22, verses 34 to 37. Last week, we considered the theme of listening with intent and considered how that was worked out in the actions of Ananias in Acts chapter 9. And of course, the other thing that I will say, as I've said every week in our key theme, or our launch point, I suppose, for this series, is in Psalm 16 and verse 8, where the psalmist says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." We want to move on in this series this morning. We're at the half or the midway point now. This is the fourth of what I believe will be seven messages or seven considerations from the Word of God. And as we move on this morning, and we've come to this section of Psalm 119, and we're looking this morning at the theme of learning with intent. Learning with intent. Now, whenever we come to the book of Psalms, we come to a place where people turn very often in time of difficulty, in time of trouble, in time of uncertainty, in time of doubt, and in time of confusion. And that's a natural thing, because the Psalms are so easy to remember, and the Psalms are written in such a way that they very often can provide a level of comfort to our hearts. And it's natural that we will turn to these passages of Scripture in a time like this. And of course, we know that Scripture should be studied in its context, and Scripture has a particular meaning in its context, but we can still take comfort from the Word of God. We can take comfort from specific verses or specific passages in the Word of God. It is the case that probably everyone who's here this morning has a favorite verse or a favorite passage of Scripture. I can tell you what mine are. I have two. I have one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. My favorite verse in the Old Testament is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, where the Word of God says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And then my favorite New Testament, I suppose there's a verse in it, but it's the passage, Romans 8, verses 15 to 18. And that passage of Scripture speaks about how we've been adopted into the family of God. And then it reminds us of the blessed hope that we have in eternity. So we all have passages of Scripture or verses of Scripture which we particularly think about, or we particularly like, and in that sense that they are our favorite verses or passages. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other precious passages of Scripture for me as well, because the truth is that as we're seeking to live for the Lord, the Word of God ought to be precious to us. All of the Word of God ought to be precious to us. It should be something that is a comfort and a strength, something that we know God has written for us as his people, for us to live by, for us to learn from. And do you know, the point is this, that we can take it individually and we can be encouraged from the Word of God, knowing that God has written His Word, and it outlines His purposes and His plans, and it outlines His timeline for everything. And yet the fact is that we can take the Word of God and we can find personal comfort from that book. It's through the Word of God that we will hear God speak to us most often. It's through the Word of God that we will learn what God wills for His people. And as we're seeking to live for Him, as we seek to live obedient lives, and as we seek to live our lives according to the Word of God, we will find that God will speak to us through His Word. That His Word will be that thing which will come to our hearts and come to our minds at that time that we need it. And yet sometimes we can come to the Word of God to read it, and we can find passages that are confusing, passages that we could very easily skip past, and we can all do that. We can think about the genealogies in the Old Testament. How often do we want to just flick on past them and just move on to the next chapter? How often when we read the lists of all of the different workmen in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7 particularly, and there's all those name after name after name, and we think, what can we learn from this? Or perhaps we come to something that's difficult to understand. Maybe we come to the minor prophets, or maybe we come to the book of Revelation, or maybe you're thinking the book of Daniel, if you've been coming to the Bible study and thinking about how difficult it can be. And we can't always understand these things, and we wonder, where's the value for us? Do you know the Bible mentions the phrase, every word of God, twice. Once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, we read these words. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And then over in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is going through that period in the wilderness where He's being tempted by the devil. And as He responds to the first of the devil's temptations, He quotes an Old Testament verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. And then He says this, but by every word of God. Every word of God. At the outset of our study this morning, we find this clear indication that all of the Word of God is there for the people of God. Even the bits that are difficult. And even the bits that we wonder sometimes what's the value of them. It doesn't mean that we should skip over them. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't read them. Because the Lord tells us that every word of God is pure. And every word of God is important for the people of God. The word of God will be a comfort for the Christian. The word of God will be a balm that will ease the concerns of the Christian. The word of God is food for the soul of the Christian. And when we come to Psalm 119, we find that this psalm is a combination of two things. It's a combination of prayer and it's a combination of praise. But all of that is focused around the value and the benefit of the Word of God. Every single verse in Psalm 119 directs our thoughts to the Word of God, to the teaching, to the statutes, to the law, to the testimonies, and all of those things, to thy precepts. As you read through that psalm, you'll see that it speaks about the Word of God. It's laid out in 22 different sections, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the section that we've read this morning is the third section. And as I've said, we've read from verse 17 to 24. The commentator, John Phillips, writing about this particular section that we're looking at this morning, says that this section demonstrates how the Word of God divides the whole human race. Some find God's Word a treasure chest of wisdom, counsel, and help. Others despise it and try to undermine its influence and power. And we can see that difference. It's a very clear difference. Verse 17 to 20 and then verse 21 to 24, that difference is very clearly outlined. We're going to look at the first four verses today because we're the people who want to desire to be learning with intent from the Word of God. We want to be those who are finding God's Word, to use John Phillips' words, as a treasure chest of wisdom, counsel, and help. And I want us to contemplate what we'll learn in this section. regarding how we are impacted by the Word of God in our lives. How does the Word of God impact our lives? And why is it a good thing for us as Christians to study the Word of God? I hope we'll answer those questions as we work through these four verses. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 17, that we are to be living through the Word. Living through the Word. The psalmist says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Now, in this Psalm 119, there's 13 separate occasions where the psalmist, and we don't know who the psalmist is in this case, but the psalmist describes the one who follows God as a servant. The word servant is used, and this is the first occasion, deal bountifully with thy servant. So the writer considers themselves to be a servant of God, one who follows the Lord. They're evidently, as you read the psalm, in a time of trial. As they're writing this psalm, perhaps they've come through a difficult time and they've penned these words. And that's seen in a number of different times as you read through the psalm. You see they speak about the pressures that they're going through in life. The circumstances of life are pressing in upon them. For example, in verse 23, the psalmist says, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. They're going through difficulties from without. They're being pressed in by those who were against him and against the word of God. Down in verse 143, the psalmist says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. So we see here again that the psalmist is going through a time of trouble. A time of turmoil and anguish. Perhaps it's pressure in their mind. Perhaps it's pressure from without. We don't know exactly the detail, but the point is this. They're going through a time of difficulty. A time of pressure. But yet the psalmist, on each occasion where they refer to the difficulties that they face, to the problems of life, to the pressures within, whatever it might be, we find them referring to the delight and the joy that is found in the Word of God. You see, that's the point here. In verse 23, which we referred to, they said, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I referred to verse 143, where they said, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. And yet the psalmist goes on and says, yet thy commandments are my delight. So immediately what we see as we consider this thing, the fact is evident in the words of the psalmist that the word of God, it almost seems to instinctively provide comfort to the needy soul in the time of trouble. To those who love the Lord, to those who are desiring to be in the word of God, to those who are seeking to be strengthened by the word in time of trouble, the word of God will be that comfort. Now, whenever we put these things together, whenever we think about the fact that the psalmist says that we are servants and he considers himself to be a servant, and then also you put in the pot, as it were, this idea that not only is the psalmist declaring themselves to be a servant, but at times in life they're finding themselves to be one who's suffering, and yet the common denominator in this psalm is the fact that the Word of God is a fundamental part of life. In all those situations, in all of those difficulties, in all of those problems, in service or in suffering, it's the Word of God that is fundamental in strengthening the child of God. We can see the truth that our lives, the life of the Christian, should be shaped, should be molded by what we find in the Word of God. It should be directed by the instruction and comfort that is found within the pages of Holy Scripture. That's what the Word of God can do for the Christian. It shouldn't surprise God's people. It shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't surprise me if we're saved this morning that the one who created us, the one who breathed into us, as it were, a living soul, is the one whose words alone, as it were, are able to provide what our soul needs in time of difficulty. His word strikes a chord in the heart of the child of God. Does the word of God strike a chord in our hearts? As we're reading the Word of God, as we meditate upon the Word of God, as we take time to consider the Word of God, does the Word of God speak into our hearts? Does it provide that encouragement? Does it provide that comfort? Does it provide that strength? Yes, it does. For those who are seeking to live for the Lord. For those who know the voice, as it were, of God. For those who are seeking God to speak to them. It's only He who can satisfy. Over in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, and I've used this verse previously in preaching the gospel, but in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 it says this: He hath set the world in their heart. And that phrase where it says the world, it literally means that God has put eternity into the heart of every man. We all have an eternal need. And that need can only be met through the Lord, through His provision. He's the one who meets our eternal need. He's the one who's met our need of salvation. And if the one who can meet our eternal need gives us His word, surely that's where we ought to turn in times of difficulty. If He can meet our greatest need and His word is there for every other circumstance and every other need, surely that's where we ought to turn. It's the word of God that ought to be the food for the soul of the Christian. The old Puritan preacher Thomas Brooks once said, "The word of the Lord is a light to guide you, a counselor to counsel you, a comforter to comfort you, a staff to support you, a sword to defend you, and a physician to cure you. The word is a mind to enrich you, a robe to clothe you, and a crown to crown you." Is that what we think about the word of God? That in every circumstance of life, in every difficulty, when we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley or whether we're halfway up the mountain or halfway down, depending upon your perspective, is it the word of God that meets our need? Is it the word of God that we hold on to? Do you understand the peace that the word of God can give in a time of trouble? I want to say to you this morning the reality of that peace and that comfort and the strength that we can find and the satisfaction that we can find from studying the pages of Scripture. The reality of that is that it's built upon a steady, constant, ongoing appetite for God's Word at all times. We ought to be living through the Word. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." That little phrase, "deal bountifully," there has a number of different meanings in the original Hebrew language. It can be, as it's translated here, it can mean to deal bountifully. It's found on three other occasions in this psalm alone, and it's translated in that way. But it also can be translated as weaned, as in weaning an infant. It can also be translated as rewarded, as it says in Psalm 18 and verse 20, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." Whichever way we want to look at that word, whether we want to look at it as the weaning of an infant or the rewarding according to righteousness, or how the Lord, we're asking, and the psalmist is asking the Lord to deal bountifully with him, the picture is seen of the tender hand of God caring for his people. And in this psalm, as the psalmist is going through whatever the trial was that he was going through, the psalmist is asking the Lord to care for him. The psalmist is going through struggles and is asking the Lord to meet their need. Why? In order that they might live and keep his word. Do you notice that what it says? "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Not that I might live and live my own way. Not that I might live and prosper materially. Not that I might live and do my own thing. But that I may live and keep thy word. That's the purpose of living, is to keep and to live for the Lord according to his word. The order is interesting here in this verse. When you apply it to the life of the Christian, As the Lord pours out his blessings upon us, as the Lord grants us his blessings, as the Lord grants us health and strength and all of his goodness towards us as his servants, then the response is that we are to live to keep his word. Every breath that we have is a gift from God. Every gift or ability that we have is given to us by God. Every possession that we have is ours because God has granted it. God has willed it. Every comfort that we have is because of the Lord. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. We ought to be prepared to live to keep his word. Our lives as God's people ought to be those that are attuned to the word of God. Not as people who are seeking and desiring to be living after our own pleasures and our own thoughts, but our lives are his. We ought to live to glorify him. We ought to live to exalt him, to exalt his name, and we can only do that as God's people. We have one guidebook, and it's the word of God. This is what directs us. This is what instructs us. We can only live for him by understanding what his word says to us and applying it in our lives. We're to be living through the word, but we're to be learning from the word. Look at verse 18 and verse 19. The psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." So the writer here has made a request. He said, first of all, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Now he has a second request. He says, open thy mine eyes. Open thy mine eyes. What's he asking for now? He's saying to the Lord, "Lord, I want you to reveal yourself to me through your word. Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see, it's the word of God, which is the revelation that God has made of himself to mankind. And yes, don't misunderstand me. We understand that the person of God's Son was revealed in his humanity, and he came to this earth, and he lived that perfect life and went to the cross and became the perfect substitute for sinners. We know that God has revealed himself through his Son. But now, at this point in time, what we have here is this fact that what we have as God's people is the word of God. God reveals himself to his people today through his word. And in fact, even when we consider what we read in the first chapter of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the word. And he's revealed. But the word of God for us, this book that we have, this book that we read, this book that we ought to study and meditate upon, this is how God reveals his will to us today. Not outside of his word, but in his word. God reveals himself to us. God reveals his will for us. God reveals our path to us through his word. We have to be asking him to open our eyes. Every time we sit down to read the word of God, are you sitting down in the morning, for example, and you're getting ready to go out to face whatever issues or challenges that you might have ahead of you in the day? And as you get ready to go out and you lift down a daily devotional book and you read a verse and you flick down through the devotional that someone else has written, and you haven't even prayed, have you asked the Lord to open your eyes that morning to his word? And we can all do that. Every single one of us can do that. And yet God speaks through his word. And the psalmist says, "Open thy mine eyes." God reveals himself to us through his word. If you're saved this morning, it is very simple And I want to make this simple, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but it is because the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has enlightened your soul to your need of Christ, and you've trusted in Him. The Word of God has revealed your need by the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has saved you because He is the Word. But the written Word of God that we have and that we're reading and we've read this morning, we call it our Bible, and that's what it is. It's for the enlightening of the Christian. It's for the enlightening of our path. It's for our instruction. It's for our direction. At times, it's for our correction. We all need to be spoken to through this book. We all need to hear what God has to say. And this verse 18 is essentially a prayer to help the reader to discover the treasure troves of Scripture. He says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now, we're never going to mine the depths of it this side of eternity, but we can try. We can endeavor by the help of the Holy Spirit to learn as much as we can from the Word of God. There are many wonderful things to be discovered in Scripture, but they will only truly be understood if our eyes are opened and the truth contained is illuminated in our hearts by the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. In Psalm 107 and verse 8, the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." In Psalm 72 and verse 18, the psalmist says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." In Acts 2 and verse 11, we read the words that were spoken by the apostles on the day of the birth of the New Testament church. And they spoke in the city on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit had empowered them. And it tells them that the people heard them speak in their own languages. What did they speak? They spoke the wonderful works of God. And the psalmist here is saying, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." There are wonderful things for the Christian in the Word of God. Wondrous things. The Word of God reveals to us His wonderful works, but we need the Holy Spirit to shine the light upon it for us. Wondrous things. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." Further on in the psalm, we see that the Word of God enlightens us for living. Down in verse 105 of Psalm 119, and we know the verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." So whenever we bring this all together, whenever we bring this together with verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," and then we start to see that the entrance of thy word giveth light, and we start to see that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we understand that when you come into verse 19, we see our place on this earth as Christians. Because verse 19 says, the psalmist says, "I am a stranger in the earth." We're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. The Word of God tells us that. Peter puts it like that in 1 Peter 2 verse 11. We're strangers and pilgrims. So as we think about that, and we think about how the Word of God shows us wondrous things that the Lord has done, and the Word of God enlightens our path, we understand that as we're on that path, our home is an eternal home. Our end is an eternal end. We're strangers in the earth. And as Christians, therefore, we have a responsibility not to fix our eyes upon the here and now. Not to fix our lives upon what we get in the here and now. We fix our eyes on living for eternal things. We fix our eyes on Him. And we learn to do that in one place, through the Word of God. The Word of God will lead us, will teach us, will direct us. And through the Word of God, we will understand more and more that we need the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us as we read the Word of God. You see, it's one thing, I suppose, to have a head knowledge of the Word of God. It's another thing to apply it. It's another thing to have a heart knowledge of it. I remember whenever I was at university, studying part-time at university, and whenever you were going into exams and having to write essays, it would have been very easy to go into that exam and just spit out everything that was in your head. Just write it all down on a page. But if you didn't apply that to the question that you were being asked, you wouldn't have done very well in the exam. There had to be an application of what's in the head. Whenever we come to the Word of God, it's not just enough to have a head knowledge and be able to quote a verse here and a verse there and say this, that, and the other. Is that verse even in context, for example? It's not just enough to have a head knowledge. We have to have a heart knowledge. One commentator puts it like this: our manual is the Word of God. It's our manual for living. It's our guidebook. It's our map. It's our pathway. It teaches us how we ought to live and where we ought to be headed for. And where are we headed for? Well, we're not headed for what's going on in this world because we're a stranger in the earth. We need to be a people who are in the Word. Whenever I first thought about this thought of learning with intent and learning from the Word of God, my initial thought was to look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul's writing to his young brother in the Lord Timothy, and he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word. And of course, Paul's writing to Timothy there, and Timothy's pastoring the church in Ephesus, we believe, and Paul was encouraging him to work hard in his calling. And that's the meaning of the word study in that verse, to work hard. Work hard to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the principle there that Paul was telling Timothy about applies to all of us as God's people. The principle is that we ought to work hard to show ourselves approved unto God. Work hard in the word, seeking to be those who are learning from the word. If you want to be learning from the word of God, it's going to take effort. It's going to take work. It's not going to be something that you can do in a 5-minute scan over a chapter. You're going to have to take the time. You're going to have to set aside the time. There's going to be a sacrifice required. But you're going to need to be committed to being led by the Spirit of God, first of all. Because that's what the psalmist says. He says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." We need the leading of the Holy Spirit in discovering the wonder of the Word of God. We're to be living through the Word. We're to be learning from the Word. But the psalmist goes on in verse 20, and we see here that we ought to have a longing for the Word. The psalmist says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Now we can see here what the psalmist is saying. He's expressing his desire for the word of God. In fact, he repeats this in verse 40. If you flick over, you'll see the same theme is repeated. "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts." In verse 131, he says, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." He has this longing for the word of God. The idea, the picture is to have a strong desire for the word of God. Do we have a strong desire for the word of God? Is our soul breaking for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times? There's a challenge in that for God's people this morning with regard to the love that we have for the Word of God, with regard to the burden that we have to know the Word of God. What a challenge that we would have such a longing that our soul is breaking, as it were. The same root word that's translated as longing there is used in one other place in this psalm. In verse 174, and it says this: "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord." Now remember what the psalmist was going through, the challenge that the psalmist was facing here. He was going through difficulties and trying times. He was longing intensely to be delivered from those trying times. That's the salvation that's being spoken about in verse 174. to be delivered from the challenges that he was facing, to be delivered from the problem that he was going through, whatever that problem might be. He had a longing for that. And sometimes we've been in difficult times and we could say, oh, I wish it was over. Oh, I would give anything for it to be over. And we almost sometimes can't see the other end of the problem. And we would nearly give anything for the problem to be gone. And that's the longing that the psalmist had, that the problem would be gone. But he has the same longing for the commandments, for the word of God. The psalmist, whenever he had a longing for the salvation of God, it still didn't diminish his delight in the word of God, because that verse 174 finishes like this. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Yes, he wanted the problems to be gone. Yes, he wanted the difficulty to be over. But yet the word of God was still his delight, even at that place of deep trouble. He still loved the word. He knew the importance of the word of God. And sometimes in life, whenever we're going through difficulties and problems, we can almost say, my mind is so full that I want to set this aside. I can't concentrate on the word of God. I can't bring myself to read the word of God. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there right now. There's a little lesson here for you. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. This was the place where comfort is found. This was the place where strength was found. Now, if we think about that, and then we come back to this verse 20, where the psalmist says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Do we have that strong desire for the word of God? Think about the Apostle Peter over as he was writing in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. And he instructed the early believers as he was writing to them generally in the different places, particularly those who had been scattered. And remember, they'd been scattered because of persecution. And they were cast abroad in different places because they were being persecuted as the early church. And Peter writes to them and he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, even in difficulty. Even in problem, even in tribulation, even as you're being scattered and persecuted, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In the original Greek, as Peter was writing, it literally means in the manner of newborn babes, intensely crave the sincere milk of the word. Intensely crave. You can't get enough of it. Can't be satisfied by it. Because you can't get enough of it. Do we intensely crave the word of God? Does our soul break for the longing that it hath for the word of God? Do we understand that for the Christian in difficulty and the Christian in a time of calm, whether it's storm, whether it's calm, whatever it might be, the word of God is still the compass for our lives, the comfort for our souls, and indeed sometimes the correction of our ways? Do we grasp all of that? We're strangers in this world. We're living as strangers and pilgrims. But yet, there's always hope for the Christian in a difficult world. And we find the comfort and the hope in the Word of God. But we need to study this book. We need to choose that hope, as it were. We need to choose to read the Word of God. We need to choose to study the Word of God. And so often, if we're honest with ourselves, we engage ourselves in other things. I would say we engage ourselves in things that are so vastly inferior to the Word of God. And we're all guilty of it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know sometimes we need to switch off. I know sometimes that we need to take a break. I took a break yesterday evening to watch a rugby match. By the end of the rugby match, I was wishing I hadn't watched it because I thought it wasn't going to go the way I wanted it to. But the point is, sometimes we need to switch off. But the bigger point is this. Are we actually switching on to the Word of God at all? You don't have to switch off if you're not switched on to it in the first place. Is our desire for the Word greater than our desire for the things that are temporary? Is our burden for the Word more than everything else? Are we seeking to live through the Word? Are we seeking to learn from the Word? Do we have this longing for the Word? That's what the psalmist spoke about in these four verses. The psalmist in trouble knew the power of the Word of God. And let's learn from that in our present circumstances, in our difficulties. Let's take it with us in our journey with the Lord, in our journey as strangers and pilgrims to a better place, to a better home, to a bright and blessed hope and future with our God. A people who live with intent, people who love with intent, a people who listen with intent, a people who learn with intent. Next week, in the Lord's will, we're going to consider leaning with intent if the Lord tarries.